It says, and after the uproar had ceased, Paul sent for the disciples, and when he had exhorted them and taken his leave of them, he departed to go to Macedonia. And when he had gone through those districts and had given them much exhortation, he came to Greece. And there he spent 3 months, and when a plot was formed against him by the Jews as he was about to set sail for Syria, he determined to return through Macedonia. And he was accompanied by Sopater of Berea, the son of Pyrrhus, and Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy and Tychicus and Trophimus of Asia. But these had gone on ahead and were waiting for us at Troas. And we sailed from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came to them at Troas within 5 days, and there we stayed 7 days. And on the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them, intending to depart the next day, and he prolonged his message until midnight. And there were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together. And there was a certain young man named Eutychus sitting on the windowsill, sinking into a deep sleep. And as Paul kept on talking, he was overcome by sleep and fell down from the third floor and was picked up dead. And Paul went down, fell upon him, and after embracing him, he said, "Do not be troubled, for his life is in him." And when he had gone back up and had broken the bread and eaten, he talked with them a long while until daybreak, and so departed. And they took away the boy alive and were greatly comforted. But we, going ahead to the ship, set sail for Assos, intending from there to take Paul on board, for thus he had arranged it, intending himself to go by land. And when he had met us at Assos, we took him on board and came to Mytilene. And sailing from there, we arrived the following day opposite Chios, and the next day we crossed over to Samos, and the day following we came to Miletus. For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus in order that he might not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hurrying to be in Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials which came upon me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now behold, bound in spirit, I'm on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, in order that I may finish my course and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will see my face no more. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day, for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or clothes. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own needs and to the men who are with me. And everything I showed you, that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said himself, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" And when they had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And they began to weep aloud and embraced Paul and repeatedly kissed him, grieving especially over the word which he had spoken, that he should see, that they should see his face no more. And they were accompanying him to the ship. Amen. Chapter 20 is basically wrapping up the third missionary journey, and Paul is in a hurry to go to Jerusalem. He wants to get there during Pentecost. From Passover to Pentecost, I think it's a period of 50 days or so, 40 or 50 days, and so it was kind of a right as a Jewish person, a devout Jewish person, to be in Jerusalem during this holy festival. So he's kind of trying to hurry his way back as much as possible. And one of the reasons why he's going back to Jerusalem is he has funds that he has collected from all the different outposts. And so in chapter 4, where you have all these guys, they're the ones that are actually holding the funds from their church or from their region. And so it's kind of like, you know, all the brothers gathered together. They, you know, they sent, you know, a need to the church in Jerusalem, and they sent it through these brothers. And so, you know, Paul's kind of assembled this little team of guys, and but they're, you know, pretty much taking care of the offering that was given to Jerusalem. Now, in the midst of this all, we have this interesting passage about Eutychus, right? Eutychus was a young man. According to Greek, he was probably between 8 or 14 years old, right? They use that word and how that structure means. And so he was a very, very young person, and he's sitting in the windowsill. Paul speaks for a very long time. You should never complain about how long I speak, right? Paul, right, he speaks so long, he's going past midnight, you know, and so, and you have to look at this in context. He would have probably started during the day, right? There was light, right? You know, if you've ever, you know, actually, John and myself and Hyge went to Israel a while back, and, you know, around the Sabbath time, man, it's just, there ain't nothing around, right? Everything's closed, it shuts down early out there. You know, and in that same, you know, it would have been very, very early. If you've ever gone on a mission trip to a very primitive culture, you know, right, everything shuts down. As soon as it gets dark, it's done. You know, so he probably started preaching during the daylight, you know, and he just kept going. And so they put up lamps, you know, in the house. But Eutychus, if I want to give you a picture, Eutychus is in some ways a picture of a dying church. Here's Eutychus, right? So we'll just use metaphors here. Eutychus is sitting in the windowsill. You know, obviously the room is packed. There's light there. It's probably pretty hot and crowded and smelly and all those things. So Eutychus tries. He goes and he finds the seat of comfort. You know, that's what he wants. He wants to be comfortable. So he goes, sits at the windowsill. You know, he's in the room, but not really in the room. You know, he's there, but he's not so much engaged, and he's sitting on the windowsill, and then it says, and then he falls into a deep sleep, and then he dies, right? He falls out the window, and he dies. You know, a lot of times, you know, this is a picture of a lukewarm church, you know, seeking comfort above all else, you know, wanting to, you know, you're in it, but not really in it. You know, you're in the church, you know, but not really in it. You're into God, but not so much into God. You're kind of on the outskirts. You know, you're sitting in the windowsill, and that leads to a spiritual death. You know, and Eutychus is this incredible picture. I mean, I've preached on this so many times, right? I don't think ever here, but, you know, because it draws an incredible picture of a lukewarm church. You know, and Eutychus embodies that. But see, the one thing I want you to see more than anything else, though, Paul, he comes down, right? This guy, this little boy is dead. He comes down, right? And Paul doesn't rebuke him. That's what you get for falling asleep, you know? He doesn't, you know, the word there is, you know, really typically, you know, kind of a very wonderful word, right? He actually embraces Eutychus. You know, he falls on him, you know, and he embraces him, he grabs him, you know, and he puts him into his arm, you know, which is really, in some ways, you know, Paul is standing in as a type of Christ, because that's what Jesus does. You know, we can, you know, as church leaders and whatnot, we can be very critical of Eutychus, you know, but you look at the father heart, right? Right, he comes down and embraces his son, you know, and he brings him back to life. Right, and so, you know, this is actually a bit of encouragement for a lukewarm church, right? That even, you know, even if you die, even if you fall, you know, and you can draw all kinds of metaphors from that, right? The Lord will always be there, right? Romans 8:1 is true. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, you know. And so he embraces him, and this is, you know, this is not a typical word, right? The embracing, you know, what happened, you know, in the Old Testament, you know, where Elijah and Elisha will embrace and, you know, and fall themselves over, you know, the widow Nain and some other places, you know, and they'll come back to life, you know. And so this is actually a word of encouragement. And so then Paul sets sail. He goes off and he's trying to avoid Ephesus because, you know, there's a lot of problems there and there's a lot of people. And so he's trying to get to Jerusalem as fast as possible. But he sets sail there and he makes his way. And he says in verse 24, it's kind of Paul's mission statement, right? This is Paul's life. It says, I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, in order that I may finish my course, and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. Right? You know, Paul, and he'll say this in different ways all through his letters, right? You know, for me to know, you know, I care to know about Christ and Him crucified. You know, to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. You know, and he's saying, my life is nothing to me, right? My life is to preach the gospel. You know, I don't own this life. You know, this is, you know, a gift from the Lord. You know, He saved me. You know, and so I'm giving my life to the cause of the gospel, that I may preach His prophetic word. That's basically summed up Paul's, you know, life, you know, in one verse. And that's what he was about. You know, he's, you know, basically, you know, what's said and done, I'm about the gospel. You know, and this is a real challenge for us, you know. What is your life about? You know, I mean, what's, you know, what is a phrase that you can offer up to your life? You know, my life is about making money. You know, my life is about having fun. You know, my life is Lam Kwai Fong, you know. My life is being cool, you know, or, you know, whatever the case may be. You know, how can we sum up our lives? You know, and, you know, Paul here, he sums it up in the most beautiful way, in the most eternal way. He says, my life is the gospel, right? You know, my life is not my life. You know, and, you know, the reality, friends, is this should be said about all of us, right? Because when we say Jesus is Lord, right, we basically said, I don't live anymore, you know, and so he continues on. Now, during this time, I mean, you have to read Corinthians. He wrote the 1st and 2nd Corinthians, you know. He would also have written a few other letters that got lost. And if you read the beginning of 1st Corinthians and 2nd Corinthians, you know that these letters were also lost, you know, but all in response to things that are happening in Corinth. And so, you know, as Paul is writing this and he's going through this, he's got a really heavy heart, you know, and you can tell a little bit. If you look at the mood, it's a bit gloomy, you know, this chapter. The whole mood, you know, of him, you know, working from one place to the other, and he's avoiding certain places, and, you know, he's quite busy, right? And he seems to be thinking about different things, and one of those things that he's thinking about is these letters. You know, he's been hearing these problems that have been coming from Corinth. He's writing letters to them. He sent emissaries there. They rejected it, you know, and so he's writing another letter, a more harsher letter. You know, that letter was, I would have loved to read what that was, because, you know, Corinthians is pretty harsh itself, but he apparently wrote a harsher letter in response to the lack of reception that he got from the church. You know, and so, but again, that letter was lost. And so that's kind of the mood that's happening. All right, so let's close our eyes. And all right, so he's ending his third missionary journey. He's come to defining his ministry and his life. Right? And his life was the gospel. Now let it be said that our life is the gospel. Right? That we could say, I consider my life as nothing is dear to me. Right, that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ might be preached. I want to encourage you just to spend some time with the Lord today.
The same way, let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray that your life would be the gospel. Let's pray for holiness and pray for your quiet times and an effective prayer life. Pray that you'd grow in faith this year, right? That God would really break through the impossible over your life this year. Let's just cover ourselves. Let's pray for our church. Let's pray that we'd find a new building. All right, let's ask God to really provide funds to purchase it. We saw a building yesterday. It was fantastic, but it's way too expensive. And so let's ask God for favor. All right, so let's just cover our building search and our fundraising. So our missions focus, let's just pray for Asia. We really feel like God's just giving us a mandate over this continent. Let's pray that we'd be able to make an impact here, that we'd be salt and light, and God would just really give us strategies and real influence in the natural and also in the spirit over Asia, that we really impact this place. So let's just cover this whole continent. Let's pray for our brother Solomon. Let's pray that real thankfulness to the Lord for bringing him to Hong Kong and for being his gracious provider. Let's pray that he would learn to more deeply love Jesus and to be loved by him and develop a passion for his word and to be more filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray that the Holy Spirit would guide him to be a better witness, and especially to his friends and coworkers. Pray for real clarity and guidance in discerning his will for him in Hong Kong or Asia, particularly about whether he should pursue opportunities in China. All right, so let's cover our brother Solomon. Let's pray for Sister Bonnie. Let's pray for salvation for her brothers, Eugene and Nick, and pray for mom and dad and grandparents. She says, praise God in advance that this will be the year of salvation for this family. Pray that she'd be lovesick for the Lord Jesus, to be still before him, to persistently pursue and obey him. Praise God for her new position. Pray for wisdom, favor, influence, and an excellent performance. I pray that God will really grow her in her gifts and wisdom. She'd be able to love SP, youth group, and house church members. I pray that she'd be excellent, a witness in all of her ministries, and just prepare her for her future husband. And let's cover Bonnie. Let's pray for Sister Angela. Pray that 2009 be a year of impossibilities becoming possibilities, breakthrough in the areas in which this is needed for her family and for herself, protection for her family, especially against spiritual attacks and the schemes of the enemy. I pray that this year she'll experience more of his joy and live out 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Pray for Causeway Bay House Church, that every member's prayers will be answered and that they will be filled with a testimony after testimony in their house of answered prayer. Pray for God to anoint and to grow her to become a really good leader in church as well as in the workplace. And generally just for God's unmerited favor, just grace over her and her family this year. Let's pray for Ange. Lord, we just thank you, God, so much this morning, Father God. We thank you for just gathering us, God. We're small in number, God, but we're mighty. And Lord, we just ask, God, that you would just come, Lord, and just really continue to minister through us, God, as we pray, as we continue to intercede. Lord, draw us, God, to you, Lord, every single day, closer and closer, God. Lord, let a fire, Lord, continue to burn deep within us, Lord. We bless you for this day, God. We bind our will to your will. God, and we ask for your hand upon us, God. And be with all of our friends, God, that are traveling, Lord, during Chinese New Year. Lord, bless them. Help them have a wonderful time, God, with family and friends, Lord, and bring them back safely to Hong Kong, God. We thank you, Lord. Watch over us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.